we got lots of guests, which is great. I do have a little PSA, a public service announcement from Rachel. If you're going to talk at the meeting, we want to hear. I'm going to have the benefit of what you have said on the recording, so do your best to talk towards the microphone if you can. So we'll call to order the Environmental Advisory Committee February 2017 meeting. We've got an agenda in front of us, lots of guests, which is great. Has everyone had a chance to take a look at the agenda? Another copy? Mm-hmm. Any additions or discussion around what's on the agenda? All right. We'll dig right into new business, and I want to make one quick announcement in new business. So Ann has started an internship with the county, and so she works for Rachel now. Rachel needs to be nice, obviously. But because she has accepted that internship, which will run through May, HR for the county has advised that it's best that she step away from the committee while she's serving an internship. But she would like to remain involved, which is she'll basically be sitting in the audience. And we look forward to having her join us at the table again, maybe at the June meeting. So, again, just to reduce any risk of conflict of interest or anything like that. Now we have some guests today. We've got Rebecca Robinson from Carolina Mountain Land Conservancy and Gray Jernigan from Mountain True. They're going to talk to us about Friends of the Okalawa Greenway. We had said last month that we wanted to have some folks from that initiative talk to us to see if there's any ways that we can help or, you know, if nothing else, just to get information update about the hard work they're doing.
Okay, great. One of them stand over here, maybe. Well, thanks for having us. First of all, both of our organizations are part of a bigger group that comprised of friends that are working to support the Greenway in a few ways. The existing Greenway and also the... All right. And also the proposed extension from the current endpoint, which is in Jackson Park, out to the community college. And my primary role has been in working with the landowners along a potential route, which primarily follows the existing sewer line easement. And the commissioners asked us to look at the route and see if it was feasible and then work on the outreach to landowners as a first step. So that's really what I've been doing. And then Gray's going to talk a little bit about some other activities. So we brought a little handout about the benefits of greenways, environmental benefits specifically for this committee, so you have that. And I also brought a map. It's not really for public consumption, so I'm just going to do a little show and tell on it. All of the landowners have been contacted, so they know about it. It's not a surprise, but they haven't necessarily committed to do anything, so that's why we're not putting this out there. So here in the top corner is Jackson Park. I should have made a bigger copy. And there's some little pink lines that are the existing sewer easements and sewer lines. We have a commitment from the first private landowner immediately adjoining the park to participate in extending the greenway, which is great. The sewer line runs a little bit off of her property and across some, it's really kind of in the backyards of some other homes, but she's agreed to allow us to just stay on her property even though the sewer line isn't there. And so that's going to be helpful. It's really a better route for users of the greenway, and it's keeping it out of people's yards, which nobody really wants in the first place. So then we come to the airport, which is a challenge because the sewer line easement runs right beside the runway, and so that's not a feasible option for obvious reasons. We've been talking with the owner of the airport about moving it to the far side over here where there's kind of a berm along a creek. You know, it's still probably not the best option. I mean, it's an airport. It's noisy. It's potentially dangerous. So we've also reached out to the adjoining landowner, which is a family, and that's some farmland. That's still in negotiation. We'll see what happens. In all these cases, again, we're just talking about easements, not the whole property. So when you see these shapes on the map, it's not the whole parcel. It's just a line going across it. And if we were to work with that family there, we could make a direct connection from there to the community college. So we're really talking about two landowners, which would be great. That really simplifies things. You know, the fewer people and properties you have to work with, the better, just even from getting the paperwork done perspective. So that's where we are. We're still working on it. We've got one committed, and then we've got to make a decision point here with the airport about what the best route is. We also had an engineer out to walk the route with us, and as far as feasibility, it is possible. There are some wetland areas, and that could be more expensive, but it's definitely doable. And then you're going to talk a little bit about the county's work to reroute through the park itself.
Sure. So if you'll see in the Jackson Park, the green box on your map there, you see where the green light ends. They're kind of in the middle of the property. The County Planning Department and County Parks and Rec, Tim Hopkins and John Mitchell primarily, have been leading the effort to get at the direction of the commissioners, I might add, are scoping out potential paths through the park for the greenway. Over toward kind of the northeast side, there's some low-lying wetland areas that we want to avoid because of potential flooding, and you've probably seen an area close to Jackson Park that's been flooded and requires constant maintenance, so we want to avoid that type of issue. On the future of the Greenway for its long-term sustainability, so the county's working on that, and then kind of I wanted to talk about funding of this extension coming from DOT. There's a couple of pots of money sitting with DOT that the county could tap into, but pretty much anything would require a 20% match by the county. It's costed out at about a $1.8 million project, with the county being responsible for 20% of that. So, you know, Rebecca talked about the challenges with landowner agreements and the other significant challenges is funding and the county match. So those are our two major barriers to this extension.
I will say real quick on the match point, so the county is considering anyway the route through Jackson Park itself. That work would be eligible as part of that match requirement, and so would any of the donations from the landowners. So it could be that a significant part of that doesn't have to be actual cash necessarily. There are some other
Some of the landowners considering
puzzle.
Actually donating the swap?
Yeah, the one that we have committed would be a full donation.
Wow. Yeah, that's important. That's great.
Point out. So I know, I believe this committee wrote a letter of support for the Greenway in the past
year. That's correct, yeah. Basically, continued commitment, I guess, is a way to encapsulate the letter we sent a year ago.
Yeah. And I know that you had asked, you know, what you could do to help this process move along. So, really, as we move forward, continuing to encourage the commissioners to look at the funding options and keep pursuing those, that's going to be really important, and we're going to be running down the landowner side to the best of our abilities. And then I just wanted to kind of tie this into the big picture. You know, we focus a lot on this extension because this is the part that DOT is identified as a priority, and that we've really focused on as a priority. But, you know, looking at other regional projects and how the Okawaha can tie in to connect communities across the region, you know, we have an opportunity to the north with the city looking at extending through Berkeley Mills Park. And then just north of Berkeley Mills Park, there's the Balfour Parkway project that's in the scoping phase. We expect to see a selected alternative probably around the end of the year, and the potential for including multimodal bike and pedestrian infrastructure into that project is huge. And that's a road that cuts across the county, kind of bypasses Hendersonville from the east to west, but north of the city, and could potentially connect in with the Ocklawaha. North of that, there's a sewer extension going in to Riverstone, which is another opportunity for greenway development. The county's working on the park, expanding Westfeld into an agricultural park across the river. So, you know, we're looking big picture in the coming years. There's a lot of potential to expand and connect this small piece of greenway that we have here into a bigger infrastructure. So a lot of excitement there, and even looking south into Flat Rock and connecting to the Carl Sandburg home and things like that. So while we're focused on this piece for the time being, you know, we're keeping the big picture in mind. And then just some other things that we're doing with the Friends of the Ocklawaha as far as promoting the use of the greenway and promoting it as an asset for the community and for economic development, for local businesses. We're developing a website, which we'll be launching soon.
We have a Facebook page.
We have
already a
Facebook page. Last summer we did a series of walks and talks where we had invited people out to the greenway to walk with us and to learn about different things. Different topics every month, so we hope to do that again this summer. And we've also, the groups that sit as part of this coalition of Friends of the Ocklawaha have adopted sections of the greenway through the city's Adopt a Trail program. So CMLC has adopted a section, Blue Ridge Bicycle Club, Rotary Club of Hendersonville, and Mountain True have all adopted parts of the greenway to keep it clean and maintained and as a real asset to our community. What else?
Yeah, I think the only other thing I would say is that the County Transportation Advisory Committee has already made a recommendation to the commissioners to meet that match requirement. The DOT funding process is slow. So the sooner you can get that commitment, even if some of the funds are uncertain, then the sooner DOT processes can get rolling on making that happen. So the funds are ready when we're ready.
So is timing of the essence with this, since the county has started the budget cycle or budget planning cycle? I mean, in your opinion, not it's not a question for any staffers here, but...
Yeah, I mean, we're the friends, so the sooner the better as
yeah.
far as we're concerned.
Right. Do you based on what you heard from the Board of Commissioners, did they have any, is there any question or anybody saying, well, what kind of usage are you getting on the current greenways we have? And, you know, are they at capacity? Is there...
Right. We haven't really heard that. We have talked about getting, actually CMLC has some, like, infrared trail counter devices that we have for some of the trails that we've built and maintained. So we've talked about putting some of those out on the greenway. I know there's a lot of statistic.
Yeah,
I don't remember the number either.
But at this point, it's really about connectivity and
gotcha.
and providing an alternative to road travel. We don't have a lot of great sidewalks, and mm-hmm. we have a lot of congested roads around here that make it unsafe for pedestrians and bicycles. And providing an off-road alternative is a real interest of the commissioners.
Okay.
I think specifically because you're talking about linking the community college to downtown and to Wingate and to where maybe a lot of the students work,
of course,
and that kind of thing.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that educational component of
yeah.
it is huge.
I think that helps us kind of understand what's driving the issue.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't think that it's congestion okay. on the existing greenway as much as the connectivity piece. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Is it? Yes,
sure.
Really off the wall question. Are these trails or any of the ones that we're thinking of linking up to open to horseback?
They're not. They're paved.
Yeah.
So
you don't have to bring your plastic bag.
Yeah, there's not really, I think parking trailers would be a concern too, given the parking areas that provide access.
And they're not open to motorized vehicles, obviously, either.
Unless you have a motorized mobility scooter.
Right.
Right.
Have you guys gone and talked to the Parks and Recreation Board, I think, is the, the one we worked with before on part of grant?
We presented to them last week.
Okay. What kind of response did you get from those folks, just out of curiosity?
Very supportive. They've already written the commissioners requesting, supporting the 20%
wow.
match.
Nice. So. You guys got a pretty good batting average so far.
another thing that we've been doing is going out to local businesses and other organizations and gathering letters of support for the Greenway. So we started with Blue Ridge Community College that provided our first letter of support for the extent for this particular extension. And from there, we've grown that list to about 30 organizations and businesses in the community
wow.
that are supportive of this project.
Yep, from the TDA being one, Sierra Nevada, there's a number.
And all different categories.
Yeah.
Great job.
Yeah.
All right. Any other questions for these two? Okay. Well, thanks for spending some time with us today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. All right. So, next on our new business, we've got an update on solid waste recycling programs from Rachel.
Bob Lab's out there today. That is awesome.
Thank you.
I love the bat houses.
Oh, yes, we put bat houses up. That's what those things are.
Yeah.
Coming up the drive. You're welcome to come sit at the head table if you have anything to add.
You're doing all the work you did.
Okay. So we just wanted to give you some updates on some solid waste and recycling kind of programmatic changes and additions that we're going to be looking at and just kind of get some feedback from you. And if you want to take some of this to home to think about and then email some feedback, that'd be great too. So one of the things that Ann is actually helping me put together is a user survey. And there's going to be a digital version and an in-person version where we're actually surveying users at the convenience center and then going through our hcrecycles.org site. You'll be able to take that survey as well as citizens of the community. And that's really going to help us kind of start gauging interest in some composting and organics collection, some actual physical changes that we're going to make to collection at the convenience center, looking at some hard-to-recycle programs, which I've talked about before, and just kind of get your feedback on things that you feel like as a community we're not quite providing yet out of the convenience center. We have a lot of options out there, but there are still more things that we can work on. So we're going to be working on that this month, actually. And so kind of going along with some of those things, some of those pieces of the survey, one of the things that we're going to be looking at doing is a demo composting project, which you all talked about this in much more detail at the joint meeting you had with the ESB back in November, I guess that was. And so we're talking with the state right now to try and figure out the permitting and operational side of how that would work. But really what we're hoping to do is set it up to where there's a voluntary drop-off option of the organics you want to collect at home, bring them to either some 96-gallon carts or bins that we have at the convenience center. So when you're out there recycling, you can also drop off some compost. And then we have a location on our transfer station site where we would actually take it, and we're hoping to process it to a certain degree. Just kind of depends on what our tonnages would look like. So that's going to be very much a demo project and just getting all the ratios correct, because there's a science to it. So part of that user survey is going to help us figure out what kind of interest you all would have in using something like a drop-off compost bin at the convenience center.
Now, could commercial people who mow other people's lawns and cut down the trees and stuff come and dump?
They already do.
Yes.
That would be what they, in the business, call carbon.
Yeah.
So there's two parts to composting. You have the carbon, your wood waste, and then you have your organics. So we've got plenty of carbon. Have to pay to process it. So if we we just want to dabble in and see if there's an opportunity there with composting. And ultimately what it would be is it's really low cost getting into it and trying it. But ultimately it could be a way to divert organic material from the garbage.
Right.
And you're not going to make a lot of money on it, but you're not going to pay $60 or $40 a ton to haul it down the mountain either. So it's a potential waste diversion and cost savings measure. And we can do it, we think, as long as the regulatory hurdles aren't too big, can do it at pretty much no cost and say, hey, this is not hard, or we can expand this.
So you would take your potato peelings over and dump them?
Separate.
Yeah, and we'd make it
food scraps. Mm-hmm.
And we would be aiming to do a type 3 composting demo project, which would allow you even to do meat scraps in it.
How do you keep raccoons out of it?
If your composting is done correctly, it's a self-regulating process. First of all, it is on a landfill solid waste property, so mm-hmm. We do have control measures for that kind of stuff.
We get vultures and things, but it's if you're doing it right, it should be a pretty warm pile. So hopefully they won't want to.
Right.
Who knows? I don't know.
We've got Waste Reduction Partners has a retired composting expert that's dying to come down and help us. So test it out. If it works, if it's something we look at, we can expand reasonably, feasibly. It's something we can open up to haulers. It's something we can open up to the school system. But we want to have a little small quantity.
Yeah. There's only a few composting demo projects in the state. Danny's Dumpster, which many people have heard of. He was a demo composting, and now he's a permitted type 3 composting facility in Asheville. There's another small family farm not too far between here and Raleigh that is also a small demo 3, type 3. When you start getting into type 4, you're looking at animal waste solids from hog farms and cattle farms and things. So
wastewater
sludge. So we're not getting anywhere close to that. And then across the state, as far as other counties, we're still kind of getting our research together. But there's only a few counties where there's actually a set up contracted hauling system going on to where the county might be contracting with someone to haul from commercial entities, so maybe it's not open to residential yet, and then someone else is processing. There's several different ways to work it out. So
what
we're still trying. What's that?
We would either use it on site or sell. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're not going to. It's $40 a ton. It's not. It's not something you're going to make a lot of money off of.
Right.
But again, it's more of a cost avoidance than it is a revenue generator.
Right.
And again, it's not also on our Stony Mountain site would not accommodate any large scale operation. So it's really we can facilitate a little pilot program, but not any. We would have to. The ideal thing would be able to find somebody that would a private enterprise that would be interested in doing it after we've kind of paved the way, or look at land or something. That's a ways off.
I would think maybe selling compost at a good price would be a way to sell it to the community. I'll add mine if I can get it back all worked up and ready to go to the garden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's, maybe eventually that could be the goal, and there's definitely some regulatory things there with making sure the bacteria levels are low, and, there's all these testing, pieces that you have to have. And that's one of our kind of 5 to 10 year pieces of the vision for organics recycling that we're still trying to put together. And the state is still pretty new as into this realm as far as the permitting requirements. But we're hoping to kind of pave the way for some stuff to happen in our region.
Yeah, the big input from the regulatory is stormwater control. So keep the rainwater off of your process if you can. If you can't, then you really need to collect it and introduce it to the sanitary sewer system. So. But we're trying to figure out at what levels all that happened. Rachel had a long conversation yesterday with the state trying to get our heads around what we could do and what we couldn't do. And if it's $100,000 to implement the stormwater controls for that, it's not, that doesn't make sense. It's not a pilot program. That's
right.
Commitment level we wouldn't be interested in. So.
Right.
Do you have a budget for this pilot program?
This is all something we're looking at possibly adding to the next year's budget for July 1, and we're talking thousands of dollars in expense. Mm-hmm. Nothing.
So you're not going to build a big
we've got the equipment
barn for it all?
Yeah, we've got the equipment on site already for processing wood waste, and we have labor we can do. And again, it's about starting really small and finding out those answers mm-hmm. to those questions.
There's also several examples across the state of public-private partnerships to do this kind of thing. There's a great example of that in upstate South Carolina with Atlas Organics in Greenville County. And if you wanted to see some more of kind of some of the setup that we're talking about, if you went to Atlas's website, there's some good pictures and footage. And then there's lots of other examples at universities across the state. So we're still just really exploring to make sure that we have a good setup the first time, and then tweak that, but there's just a lot of different ways to avoid all those bacterias and the smells and all that kind of stuff if you do it right the first time. So, and this would also help us kind of figure out, number one, what the interest from the community would be to participate, but also what our tonnages would look like, because we just really don't have any kind of idea, what our percentage of waste going into the transfer station is organics right now. We just don't really know. So this would help figure that out.
Is there any hope to have
Well, and that could be part of our exploration later on if some of the haulers wanted to get into the curbside composting hauling business. Right, and it even could, maybe our best situation would be to set it up to where we serve as a transfer station for organics collection, but take it off site and process it elsewhere.
How do you currently keep the private trash collectors mm-hmm. from just combining recycling and trash? Or do you even collect recycling from them?
The economics of it takes care of that. They pay us to take the trash, and they don't pay for recycling. So it behooves them to keep them separated. We get calls about folks concerns about haulers mixing the two, but a lot of times there's processes with the haulers where they are keeping it separated. It just doesn't look like it. We pay attention to what goes into the transfer station bays, and there's recycled material in there. We mine it out. So, and the haulers get talking to when we find material in there. But if it's meant to be recycled separately and it's in their trash, we call them and let them know.
There could be a similar economic forcing for if they were to do compost in the future.
Yes, I would imagine we would collect mm-hmm. organic material because the cost of the trash reflects our costs. So if our costs for composting aren't near as great as the cost of hauling trash down the mountain and paying a tipping fee, I would imagine that would be the case. We may find out in a year or two
right.
that it's not.
Right.
What did you start out in after from us? You just wanted some feedback? Or?
Yeah, you're giving me good feedback right now, yeah. But just letting you know to look out, because this user survey is going to be really important. But even as the Environmental Advisory Committee, if you, put your heads together and come up with some other things that we need to be considering, then that would be helpful as well. Just either based on your ease of use as a consumer and a customer out there, or as a citizen of the community that might have other concerns. So,
we propose stuff in the budget. The board is just about all the time asks about the respective advisory committee's input into that. Mm-hmm. So we're going to bring you before we even give it to the Board of Commissioners for thoughts.
Yeah.
Are there any other items that you guys are asking for their consideration on this year that aren't already being included in the recycling options?
I was going to ask about plastic bags. Is there a plastic bag recycling program?
You mean,
well, other than Ingles or something? Because today I was out there. I had like 50 cardboard boxes that had come with medical supplies in them. So it had all the popcorn and the stuffing and the blow-net bag. So
I had a whole recycling bag of nothing but all the plastic junk inside the boxes.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to do with it, so it went back home with me. Because I couldn't find a place to dump it.
Usually with plastic wrap and plastic bags, those things are best to go back to big box stores where they have the bins where you walk in.
Mm-hmm. And they take that kind of stuff as well?
The
good
a good website to look at is I think it's called WRAP, the WRAP program, and it's an acronym, but it has a lot to do with what you're talking about. It gives you different types of plastic wraps and films that can and can't go to those big box stores.
Okay.
The other couple of things, just real quick, staying in the same vein as composting, and going back to your meeting from your joint meeting with the ESB back in November. You talked a lot about your interest in trying to get backyard composting workshops going, or seeing how we can make that happen in the community. And so Jerry and I have talked with the ESB, and then I've also spoken with Asheville Greenworks, who maintains the recycling education sprinter van vehicle that you've seen at Rhythm and Brews and whatnot on behalf of the county, and does some recycling outreach for us. But they are working on putting together a series of backyard composting workshops in Asheville, and then they'll modify them and make them great and bring them down here in the summer and the fall next year. So we're going to work on that some more and get that real dialed in. So hopefully have a few of those in the fall where you can make your own, or, you know, pay and then take it home and make one. So that'll be cool.
What's your delivery mechanism, both for letting people know that that will exist and for this survey that you're talking about?
So, the website and social media, I always try to get it in the papers, and usually the radio stations are pretty good. Like, WHKP is really good about doing over-the-phone interviews and stuff like that. So those are the methods we try to use. And then I rely on you when I email you things to send to your respective, but word of mouth, yeah.
Wouldn't it be good of Duke Power to put it in their bill since they probably owe us?
Yes, I will let someone else ask them to have that printed, but that would be convenient. And then the other thing that we're going to, two other things that are related to our setup at the Convenience Center. One thing that we're going to be looking at doing to work into next year's budget as well is start moving into a full single stream collection system at the Convenience Center. So right now we actually have three streams. We have single stream container, so that's where you're going to put cans, bottles, jars, and jugs, which is plastic, glass, and aluminum. So you'll see those as one. And then you see another container for mixed paper, and then another container for cardboard. Mm-hmm. So what we're going to be looking at doing is consolidating all three of those streams into one bin. So instead of seven bins divided between three streams, you'll just have all the same thing.
That's awesome.
There's a couple things, you know, that help motivate that. And the other piece to that, too, is that we're going to put glass into its own container out there. So you will be able to still recycle glass out there at the Convenience Center, but you'll put it in its own bin and then have everything else go into the other bin. If you have curbside pickup, you can still put glass in it, or you can pull it out and bring it out to the Convenience Center and put it in its own bin. So the two kind of motivations from there is single stream recycling is much, much more valuable on the recycling market than these dual streams that we've got. It's just much easier processing.
Well, it's much easier for us to process operation-wise. We get, if your single stream is a good quality, doesn't have glass in it, and doesn't have bags, mm-hmm. which we'll get to, it's not a lot of cost differential between dual stream and single stream for what you get. But for us to process three different streams coming out of the Convenience Center is really hard operationally. So it costs a lot of manpower, much more so than a single stream.
So the single stream is cardboard, paper, and metal?
And aluminum and plastic. And then the
and
glass.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so part of the way that we're going to make that switch work and be able to take a lot more material is we're looking at some grants for some compactors to put out at the Convenience Center, so we'll be able to pretty much double the tonnage in some of those containers, which will really, really help with our operations and our MRF's operations, our processing facility operations.
And we get that because we're switching to single stream.
Right. So the state has some grants that are available for communities for compactors, so we're going after those. And so one thing that's really important about that switch is that your single stream is much more valuable when your materials is actually clean and dry. Mm. So I know sometimes people are like, well, I'm wasting water to clean it.
Yeah, I'm cleaning my garbage.
There's all kinds of, you know, schools of thought on that, but making sure that as we switch to single stream, you really are rinsing out and drying your material so that the papers and the cardboard stay as valuable as possible.
I just think of it as the way I've taught my grandchildren is you don't want the people that are sorting this to get stung by bees.
Yeah, and there's that too. And the
as
people
much as
using.
We like the bees.
Right, right.
Or smell rotten milk.
Yeah.
So I think that's all that I had on my list. Did you have anything else you want to add?
Yeah, there was the other on the, that's the convenience center side of the
right.
house. We do offer recycling options to our haulers, and we're gonna have a meeting with them in the next couple of weeks. So if your clients are haulers, don't spill the beans on me here. But you're welcome to. One of the things with single stream is the holdover from the whole blue bag system, and it's just a nightmare. Blue bags was introduced, I don't know how many years ago, as a way to commingle your trash and your recycling, and then when it ended up in the transfer bay or at the landfill, you would hand separate the blue bags out, and it was supposed to be an easy way to do it. Well, it didn't work. Obviously, the bags were compromised, trash got in them, and it ruined the value of the recycling. So that went away. Well, the blue bags stayed, but it does offer some convenience for folks in managing the material. You know, getting it from your kitchen to your bin, or for some of our haulers from the bin to their truck. But the problem is it requires an $80,000 piece of equipment on the front end of the processing facility. And it creates a lot of maintenance heartaches. The line goes down because of the bag material. So that material really needs to be out. And so if you know, like the city of Hendersonville has single stream collection, but it's without bags. So, you know, as a resident, I just put my material loose into the bin, and they come in and pick it up, put it in the truck.
Could you use a paper bag, like paper garbage bag?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, you could. That'd be great, but they're not that big, so they're not as convenient.
Yeah.
So
I've seen people take just regular little garbage cans and tie a blue bag around the handle to let the people come and pick them up.
It's not as much the color, it is the material, but the film.
It's a way of identifying this as the recycling without
much
effort.
Long short, we're going to try to start incentivizing the hauler. Well, actually, right now, with the blue bags being there, there's a cost we're incurring that are not getting recovered the revenue for. So at some graduated level, whether it's 6 months from the time the budget starts or a year, you know, we would like to move away from the bags. And if we, and at some point when we still receive them, we'll have to charge a fee for debagging, because we're going to debag it when it goes away. But we have a very smart hauler network, and they were able to figure out how to go from just doing trash to doing trash and recycling, and then we've got a lot of different ways, and I have complete confidence they'll figure it out. And you know, and each hauler's process is different, and we want to make sure, give them plenty of time to figure it out, and some of them may figure out it's easier that way. But that will make our recycling material significantly more valuable. I mean, from a position where we got to pay to get process it to where we get money for it. So
I can imagine a system where being bone lazy myself and having tried to talk neighbors into recycling, that if there were a garbage can with wheels on the bottom, that you could store your stuff up in until you've got a full can, and then pull it out on its little wheels.
But Rachel had a really good point the other day. I think this will be part of our message, is that you look at the cost of 5 bags of blue bags from the grocery store, and that probably is pretty much even with the cost of a
13 gallon. And then we have stickers that you can put on there that say Henderson County Recycles.
Shameless promotion.
Indoor bin. People, you know, guests would kept putting trash into my recycling, and I find, and it said right on the side, it had the white recycling sign. So finally, I got one of those little stickers and put it on the top, so that they couldn't.
But we're trying to still offer the same service, and actually with the single stream, with the convenience center, it's going to be. Go from three streams to really two, so it's improving the customer service there. But the over, you know, the big thing is with the recession, we got hit pretty hard with the revenue from recycling, and we're trying to capture some of that back, make our material more valuable. The more valuable it is, the easier it is to expand and to keep going. And we have about five MRFs. Material recovery facilities in the area that are feasible for us to haul. Two of them won't even take our. Three of them won't take our material because it has bags. So here's where I'm getting at. So if we can get rid of the bags, then I've got five people competing on my material instead of two. So that's a pretty important deal.
And the majority of the communities, not just
bags.
In North Carolina, but across the country, single stream is just what it is. Mm-hmm. And it just encourages a lot more participation in recycling because it's super easy if you've got the space in your house. But coming to a drop-off site, it's way easier to do it. So.
What's the projected useful life of the Stony Mountain site?
Let's see. -8 years? Yeah, we closed the last 2010. We closed the last trash landfill in the mid 90s when the Subtitle D regulations came out and required lime landfills. So we finished that one out and didn't expand to the new, but we did continue with construction and demolition in a separate landfill which had different requirements. But it closed in 09,
010. Yeah, I feel like it's 09.
So we're strictly a transfer facility.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, everybody calls it the landfill.
But it is a landfill. It's not.
Yeah,
it's not growing.
It's a closed landfill.
That's right.
Named the transfer station.
But we, we should. But Steve likes calling it the dump. So.
Shall be known as the dump.
and really, honestly, with the amount of volume we have and the regulatory environment on landfills now, there's not any way to do a landfill feasibly. If you were grandfathered in under the 08. Management rules, you know, if you were to start one today, you would have to be in the range of 2,000 tons a day. And that, you know, we're 300 tons. Mm-hmm. That's a good fact you can tell at the next cocktail party is how many tractor trailer loads of trash go out of Henderson County a day? It'll blow your mind. Anywhere from 12 to 20.
Yeah. Wow. It was my mind, yes.
And one or two loads of recycling go out, too.
And one truck of trash weighs the same as a fire engine. So there you go.
Wow.
Fun fact of the day. So if you think on any of these things and have some suggestions or can think of some materials that would be really useful for you to be able to recycle when you use the convenience center that we don't already offer.
You already have batteries?
We do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I can't put them in the regular recycling. I have to actually bring them.
They need to come to the convenience center. Mm-hmm. Yes, I know. So if you just want to think on some of that and email me if you have any other thoughts, that'd be much appreciated.
Great.
Thank you,
Rachel. That was great.
Thanks, Rachel.
Thank you.
All right. That moves us right along to old business. And this is a... this was on me. Last month, we said we wanted someone for Pollinator Week. Well, a little late to getting out to say, hey, can you come to the meeting? And the person from Bee City in Asheville, I can't think of her name. Yeah, she's been out of the country. So we still intend to have her come to a meeting to talk about basically what they did in Buncombe County to get energy around and behind Pollinator Week, which occurs in June. So we will have her or someone else from Bee City come talk to us next month. again, we really didn't, we got late to it last year, and so we want to be more proactive this year. So maybe do some restaurants, get some businesses involved, things like that. So does anyone have any announcements for the good of the group that they want to share? All right. So again, this has been our regular discussion at a meeting. Do you want to meet again next month? For those in the audience, that doesn't, we're not that cavalier about doing anything or not. It's just our bylaws say quarterly meeting or bi-monthly meeting, so we choose each
Which
month.
I think if we're going to do any of these city stuff,
yeah.
We really should.
Yeah, kind of set you up.
Well,
there,
that was about going to be my comment, that if we're going to do this in June, we might want to get some ideas going.
Okay, all right, so we want to go with first
and
Thursday
Bill's
of the
got
month?
Back yesterday.
Oh, nice.
I got an email from
okay. All right. So we'll shoot for first Thursday of March. All right. I think that's everything I have today. Does anyone else?
This isn't an announcement, but I have been out and sick and miserable, and I wanted to catch up, so I went online to listen to the minutes, and I couldn't hear them.
Yeah, we've had trouble with that.
I had both the thing on the little box turned all the way up and mine on my machine turned all the way up.
It was too, you could hear it, but it was too faint to make it out.
Little bees talking.
So I would see if there's some other kind of like handheld microphone.
Have you found the meeting summaries that Rachel's been sending out helpful?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I think those are good.
I feel like one meeting, okay. Maybe it was when you weren't here, we only had like one microphone up, maybe.
I think that was the last meeting.
Oh.
That's right.
It was really hard to hear.
Yeah.
But I could vaguely make out, I think it was him, one person speaking, but that was all. And that wasn't very good either.
Yeah.
I hate hearing him speak.
Yeah, me too.
He's awful.
It's like you guys have been talking to my children or something. Okay. Well, can we get a motion to adjourn in that case?
I'll move to
a turn. All right. Let's wrap it up. Thanks, everyone, for joining us today.
What did you say that was, March?
I think it's...